Chapter 4. Castile, garbed in black, cut a striking figure silhouetted against the snow as he stalked forward. He came to stand beside Kieran, and I saw that he was armed with his two short swords, the handles a deep chrome, and the blades a ruby-hued bloodstone. The knife I held had never felt more pathetic than it did in that moment.
I suppose I will need to add lock-picking to the ever-growing list of attributes, Castile drawled. But what a very unmaiden-like talent to have. Then again, I shouldn't be that surprised. You have many unmaiden-like talents, don't you?
I said nothing as my heart threw itself around my chest.
Did you really think you'd escape me?
Castile asked softly. Anger was sharper than any blade, far more welcomed than the hopelessness.
I almost did. Almost means nothing, princess. You should know that.
I did.
I'm not walking back to that keep.
Would you prefer that I carried you?
He offered.
I would prefer never to see your face again.
Now, all three of us know that's a lie.
Beside him, Kieran made a chuffing sound, and I considered chucking the knife at the woolman's face.
I'll make you a deal.
I stayed alert as he stepped over the fallen tree I had, as if it were nothing more than a branch.
I'm not interested in any deals. I'm interested in my freedom.
But you haven't heard what I have to offer.
Reaching across his chest, he unstrapped one of the swords.
Fight me. You win, you can have your freedom.
He tossed the sword so it landed in front of me. Giving the weapon a quick glance, I laughed, the sound gritty against my skin.
As if he'll let me cause you any harm.
I jerked my head to Kieran. Castile tilted his head as the woven's ears perked.
Go back to the keep, Kieran. I want to make sure Poppy feels this is fair.
Fair?
I seethed as Kieran hesitated for a moment and then pushed off the fallen tree. Twisting with all the grace of an animal, he loped off.
You're an Atlantean. How will fighting you be fair?
So, you're afraid to lose then? Or afraid to fight me?
Never,
I swore. He smirked as his eyes flared a heated ochre.
Then fight me. Remember what I said earlier? I want you to battle me. I look forward to it. I enjoy it. None of that was a lie. Engage me.
Of course I remembered what he'd said, but there was no way I could beat him. I knew that. He knew that. However, there was no way I would stroll back to my cage either, not when I'd spent my whole life in one.
Keeping my eyes on him, I slid the knife back into its sheath and unhooked the cloak. Letting it fall to the ground, I immediately missed the warmth, but the garment would be too much of a hazard.
I removed the satchel as well, dropping it by the outer garment. One of Castile's eyebrows rose.
Is that all you were planning to escape with? Just some clothes? No other supplies? No food or water?
I couldn't risk being caught shopping from the pantry now, could I?
Watching him, I bent and picked up the short sword, holding it with two hands. It was nowhere near as heavy as the broadsword, but even as lightweight as it was, I didn't have the upper body strength of those who trained for years with them.
Victor had quickly erased the notion that I'd be able to wield either with one hand for any extended period.
More like this was a poorly thought out plan, one born of panic.
It was not born of panic.
Not exactly. Maybe a little.
I don't believe that. You're smarter than this, Poppy.
He unsheathed the other sword, sliding it free.
Too damn clever to run in the middle of the night, with no food, no water, and nothing more than a paltry meat knife for protection.
I clamped my lips together as the heat of anger warmed my skin.
Do you know how long it will take to get to Whitebridge on foot? That's where you were heading, wasn't it?
Did you think about how cold it gets in the middle of the night? He demanded, a hint of anger hardening his tone. At any point, did you stop and think about the things that could be in these woods? I hadn't. Not really. And he was right. My plan wasn't at all well thought out. Are you done talking yet? Or are you too afraid that I might actually beat you so you won't shut up?
I like hearing myself talk.
I'm sure you do. The snow picked up, spiraling across the ground.
Ready?
He asked. Are you?
Always.
My gaze dipped to his sword. He held it pointed down, not at the ready. There was an insult there, whether he meant it or not. Blistering, smoky rage burned through me, spurring me into action. Charging him, I jabbed for his midsection, but Castile was fast, deflecting my attack with a simple swipe of his sword.
You should be aiming for my neck, princess, or is the sword too heavy for you?
Lips thinning at the taunt, I swiped the sword high. He blocked it and struck out, not nearly as fast as he could, considering I could easily dance out of his reach.
You've forgotten a lot of what I said to you.
He prowled forward, cutting off my next blow with a swipe of his blade. Maybe I chose to ignore whatever it was you had to say. Eyes narrowing, I moved to the side.
Either way, I'll do you a favor and repeat myself.
Not necessary. I tracked his movements as he circled me. He was far more skilled with the sword, just like Victor had been when he trained me. What had he taught me? Never forget one of the most important weapons, the element of surprise. Castile stalked me, sword raised.
It seems entirely too necessary for me to repeat myself, considering your foolish behavior.
I would show him foolish behavior.
Fight me. Argue with me. I won't stop you. But I will not allow you to put your life in jeopardy. And this, tonight, is the epitome of reckless, life-endangering behavior.
You didn't want me to argue with you earlier, I reminded him, watching him carefully.
Because as I said, you can fight me, but not when it jeopardizes your life.
So my life was in jeopardy with Alastair.
I was working on ensuring that's not the case. Yet here I am instead, making sure you haven't gotten yourself killed.
Only because you need me alive, right? What good will a dead maiden be as a bartering tool when it comes to freeing your brother? His jaw flexed.
So you'd rather get yourself killed?
I'd rather be free, I gritted out as the wind blew a strand of hair across my face. His upper lip curled, revealing one fang.
If you think running back to the Ascended will give you freedom, then I've overestimated your critical thinking skills.
If you think that's what I'm planning, then I've overestimated yours, I returned. Castile made his move then, swinging hard. I suspected he planned to knock the sword free from my hand. If he landed the blow, he would have. But I darted into the sword's path, surprise widening his eyes as he drew the blade back, like I knew he would. I was no good to him dead. I dipped under his arm and spun, kicking out, my boot connected with his stomach, pushing a sharp curse out of him. Straightening, I swung the blade around. Castile shifted to the side, narrowly avoiding a slice to the chest.
Nice job, he remarked, his voice free of mockery.
I didn't ask for your thoughts. His blade met mine in a clang of bloodstone. For several heated moments, that was the only sound in the woods as we thrust and parried. A fine sheen of sweat dampened my forehead despite the cold, and even though all the running caused my muscles to now weep in protest, I refused to give in. This wasn't a fight to the death. In the back of my mind, I knew this wasn't even a fight for freedom, because no matter what deal Castile made, he wouldn't let me go. This was about who disarmed whom first, who drew first blood. This was about driving out the pent-up rage and the festering sense of helplessness that had resided inside me for far longer than I was comfortable admitting. And maybe, just maybe, that was why Castile was allowing this. The edge of my sword came close to nicking his left cheek as he swept the blade aside, the deflection sending an aching tremor up my arms. I was breathing fast, while he showed no signs of tiring. He moved around me in a slow circle, his sword once again lowered. "Did I frighten you tonight, with Landell?" he asked. The arrogance marking his features slipped away, revealing someone else entirely. "Is that why you ran? Are you scared of me?" Startled by the question, by the way he almost looked afraid to hear my answer, I lowered the sword an inch. It was a mistake. Castile struck as fast as a falcon with its prey in sight. He gripped my arm, spinning me so my back was to him. I tried to twist, but his arm clamped down on my waist, pulling me back against his chest. He pressed his fingers into my wrist, forcing my hand to spasm open. The sword fell to the snow. "I had to do it," he said, dipping his head so his cheek pressed against mine. "No one. And I mean no one speaks of you like that, threatens you, and lives." My stupid, ridiculous heart skipped a beat. "That's so sweet," I said, and I felt his arm loosen around my waist. "But you cheated." Jerking to the side, I slammed my elbow into his stomach as hard as I could. Castile grunted, letting go. I whirled, striking fast instead of going for the sword he still held. My fist caught him in the corner of the mouth. The shock of pain flared in his eyes, and I spun, dipping low as I swung my leg around. He jumped, but I caught one leg, sweeping it out from underneath him. He went down, and a shout of victory burst from me as I popped to my feet and turned to him, breathing heavily. Castile dropped his sword as he rose onto one elbow, dragging his hand over his mouth as he stared up at me. Red smeared the back of his hand, and a sense of violent delight surged through me. He'd disarmed me first, but I'd made him bleed. "Just so you know, I'd do it again. Kill 1,000 versions of Landell," he said, dampening some of the satisfaction I felt as I glanced at the sword he'd dropped. "And I wouldn't lose a moment's sleep over it. But you never need to fear me. Never." My gaze flew to his. There was no smugness in his words, no teasing in his stare. "I don't fear you." His brows furrowed in confusion, and I seized that moment, shooting toward the sword. I wasn't even exactly sure what I would do with it once I held it. I didn't get to find out. Castile snagged me around the waist, moving so silently that I hadn't even heard him stand or come at me. He took me to the ground, twisting, so he took the brunt of the fall. I ended up on top of him. "This reminds me of the stables," he spoke to the back of my head, and whatever vulnerability had been in his voice moments before was now gone. He rolled me under him. "You were just as violent then as you are now." His weight and the heat of his body against my back and the iciness of the snow at my front was a shock to my senses, stunning me. "Most wouldn't find that such an attractive quality." His voice was a warm whisper against my ear, invoking thoughts of tangled sheets and lush spice. There wasn't an inch of space separating us. I could feel him along the length of my back, over the curve of my rear, and where one of his legs was shoved between mine. The decadent scent of him and the crispness of the snow filled every too short, too shallow breath as every part of my body became aware of his. "But," he said, his mouth brushing my jaw, followed by the graze of his sharp teeth, sending an illicit thrill through me. Would he bite me? An aching heaviness filled my chest and glided lower, igniting a burst of disbelief. Did I? Did I want him to do that? No, of course not. I couldn't. His lips curved against my skin, against the healing bite mark.
I'm not most people.
Most people aren't as insane as you, I said, in a throaty voice that wasn't mine.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
He scraped harder with his sharp teeth, just below where he'd bitten me before, and I gasped as my body jerked.
And the truth is, you like my brand of insanity.
My blood pounded through me in a dizzying push. I don't like anything about you. He laughed as his lips skimmed the side of my throat.
I love how you lie.
I'm not lying, I denied, wondering if he nudged my head to the side or if I had done that. It couldn't have been me. His lips hovered over the spot where my pulse fluttered wildly.
Your penchant for violence isn't anything to be ashamed of. Not with me. Haven't I told you it turns me on?
One too many times, I said, pushing off the ground and against Castile. I felt him against me for a brief moment, felt the proof of his words, the tight, throbbing response to the knowledge that made me question my sanity. Castile hadn't expected the move, and he slipped to the side. Or maybe he was just humoring me. Probably the latter. Either way, I scrambled to my knees and turned on him, throwing a wild punch. Castile caught my hand.
Then I guess it would be repetitive of me to tell you how much you're turning me on now?
That, and how incredibly disturbing it is. He smiled up at me, his eyes twin golden flames.
I do so prefer hand-to-hand combat with you, he said, catching my other wrist when I swung my fist down. I like how close it brings us, princess.
I shrieked my frustration, my irritation at him, at myself. There is something so wrong with you.
Probably. But you know what?
He lifted his head off the ground.
That's the part you like the most.
There is nothing... My response died on the tip of my tongue. Under his head, the snow seemed to be rising off the ground. But that wasn't right. I lifted my gaze, seeing white, misty clouds rolling softly along the snow. Mist. Do you see that?
What?
Castile twisted his head.
Shit. Craven.
My heart stammered. I didn't think there were any Craven here.
Why would you think there's no Craven here?
Disbelief rang in his tone. You're in Solus. The Craven are everywhere. But there's no Ascended here, I argued, as the mist thickened and spread. How can there be Craven?
There used to be Ascended here.
He sat up, bringing me closer.
They fed, and they feed a lot. Elijah and the others keep the Craven back. But with Whitebridge on the other side of these woods and young, pretty girls blindly running through them in the middle of the night, it's not like they don't have a food source.
I don't run into the woods blindly, I snapped.
But you did. And you didn't even realize there were Craven in these woods.
His voice hardened with hints of his earlier anger. And all you had was a damn meat knife. Why did you run, Poppy? A high-pitched shriek sent a bolt of dread through me. Do you think now is a good time to have this conversation?
Yes.
I shot him an incredulous stare. No, he said, and then added a sigh. He rose as swiftly as the air pulling me to my feet. Letting go of one of my arms, he bent and swiped up the sword he'd dropped. Another shrill cry sounded, followed by the sound of snapping tree limbs, freezing the blood in my veins. I think Castile hauled me against his chest without warning. Before I knew what he was even about, his mouth was on mine, stealing my breath and scattering my thoughts. The kiss was hot and raw, a clash of lips and teeth. I was reminded again of how, as Hawk, he'd held himself back when he kissed me, and how much he hid. It wasn't just the fangs, it was also the power, his power. He lifted his mouth from mine, his eyes nearly luminous, as he stared down into my wide ones. "But we will have that conversation later," he promised, thrusting the sword into my hand. "Make me feel incompetent and kill more than me, princess." For a moment, I was rooted to the spot where I stood, the hilt of the sword cold against my palm. The craven's screams jolted me from my stupor. I turned just as Castile picked up the other sword. There was no time to think about anything, especially not the kiss. The mist grew, reaching our knees. They streamed out from a cluster of trees, a tide of sunken gray bodies, bared fangs, and blazing coal-red eyes. I'd never seen the craven so decayed. Their skulls were bare of hair, or only patchy, clumpy strings remained. Rib cages were all but exposed through the ragged clothing they wore. They were so emaciated, so withered away, that I couldn't help but feel pity for the mortals they used to be and the rotting corpses they'd become. I braced as they spilled over the fallen branches and boulders, because even in their condition, they were fast, and they would be deadly in their bloodlust. The first to reach me may have been a woman once, given the faded yellow frock and the jeweled ring still on her finger. She screamed, reed thin legs pumping as she reached for me with outstretched hands, her fingers ending in razor-sharp claws that could easily shred skin. I was proof of that. Her jaw hung open, exposing the two elongated canines along the top and the two that jutted up from the bottom. Meeting her halfway, I thrust the sword into her chest. Rotten blood spurted, filling the air with putridness. If the blade weren't bloodstone, or a stake fashioned from the trees within the blood forest, she would have kept coming, tearing herself in two to get to me. I'd seen a craven do that before, but the blade was bloodstone, and she was dead the moment the sword pierced her heart. Yanking the weapon free, I turned as she crumpled to the ground. Castile had lopped off the head of a craven, another surefire way of killing them. I wasn't worried for him. I imagined it would take dozens of craven, if not more, to overwhelm an Atlantean. Piercing the chest of another craven, I couldn't help but acknowledge that if there had been any semblance of truth behind the Ascended's claims of the Dark One controlling the craven, I doubted they'd be trying to rip his skin open right now. I already knew that, though, having seen the craven go after him in the blood forest before. This was just more evidence of the truth he spoke, and the lies I'd been told. Fury energized me as I sliced the bloodstone through the neck of a craven, severing its head. I whirled from the gore, only to come face to face with ghastly, inhuman eyes and snapping teeth. A moment of pure, unadulterated terror swamped me when my gaze locked with the craven's. It threatened to toss me back through the years to when I couldn't keep my grip on my mother's slippery, blood-soaked hand as the pain of the first claw and then the first bite turned into a never-ending nightmare. I wasn't a small child now, incapable of defending myself. I wasn't weak. I wasn't prey. With a rage-filled shout I barely recognized as mine, I jabbed the blade through the craven's caved-in chest. The ungodly light went out in its eyes, the last vestiges of life. "Six," Castile called out. "You?" "Four," I answered, calming myself, as I almost wished I didn't know what he'd meant. I darted under the arms of another craven, driving the sword deep into its back. "Five." "Shameful," he teased, and I rolled my eyes. A wailing craven jerked my head around. It raced toward me, and I stepped in, gripping the hilt with both hands as I shoved the blade through its chin. Tearing the sword free, I saw that the mist was all but gone now. Heart thumping as Castile drove his blade through the last craven, I lowered the sword, taking a step back. I dragged in deep breaths. As he pulled his weapon free, his head swiveled in my direction. I didn't know if he was looking to see if I was still standing, or to make sure I wasn't running away, or at him with the sword. He didn't have to worry about the last two things. I was far too tired to run anywhere. I was hoping to have the chance to rescue you. Castile bent, wiping his sword clean on the leg of the fallen's pants. But you didn't need my help. Sorry to disappoint you. My gaze shifted to the craven before me. He wore no shirt, and that was how I could see the wound on his stomach. 4 deep indentations along his waist that were an ugly shade of purple, whereas the rest of his skin was the color of death. He hadn't been fed upon by an ascended. I wondered how old he'd been before a craven's bite had cursed him. What had he done for a living? Was he a guard or a huntsman? A banker? A farmer? Did he have a family? Children who had been ripped apart in front of him? Did I tell you that a craven bit me? No, he answered quietly. Where? On my leg. Scarred as it is now, it looks like claws did it. But it was fangs, I said, unsure why I was talking or thinking about this. I never understood why I survived the bite while everyone else bitten was cursed. I'd planned to tell you about it after we were together, but things happened. I didn't say anything before, because it was another thing I was told to keep silent about. The queen told me it was because I was the maiden, the one chosen by the gods. That was why I didn't turn. But I wasn't chosen by anything or anyone. I looked over at him. It's because I'm part Atlantean, isn't it? Slipping his sword into the scabbard as he walked toward me, he stopped beside me. A craven's bite does not curse an Atlantean, but in enough numbers, I suppose, depending if they manage to sever our heads, they could kill us. I think the reason I was never allowed to use my gift or tell anyone about the bites is because those things are Atlantean traits, I said. Maybe the Ascended were afraid that if people knew, someone would realize what that meant. Did anyone know? He asked. Victor knew about the bites and my gift, but Tawny didn't. My brother did. I mean, he does. He knows. My brows knotted. And the Tiermans. There are Atlanteans among the dissenters. If one of them had become aware of your gift or the bite, they would have known. He lifted his hand to my cheek. I tensed as he smoothed his thumb down the side of my face to below the scar. Craven blood, he explained, wiping it away. His eyes met mine. If I'd known those marks were bites, I would have realized what you were right away. Yeah, well, I trailed off. Would that have changed anything? He didn't answer for a long moment, and then he said, No, Poppy. You being mortal or half Atlantean wouldn't have changed what was already happening. At least you're honest. An ache pierced my chest as I dragged my gaze from his and looked over the craven. They'd come from the direction I'd been heading. I let out a heavy breath, knowing I wouldn't have survived. There was no way I could have taken on a dozen craven by myself, and only with a meat knife. I could admit that. I would have died tonight, and that wasn't the kind of freedom I'd been looking for. For some reason, I thought about what he'd said to me before, during what felt like a different life. Do you remember saying that you felt like you knew me when we met?
I do.
Was that a lie? His features hardened and then smoothed out.
Was it a lie to you?
I shook my head no. Why, then? Thick lashes lowered.
I think it's the Atlantean blood in us recognizing each other, showing the connection in a feeling that would probably easily be overlooked,
Castile said, as I felt his hand over mine, over the one holding the sword. He slipped it from my grasp, and I didn't try to fight him. I watched as he cleaned the blade and then sheathed it next to the other. I met his gaze again. I'm not handing over the meat knife.
I wouldn't expect you to.
A long, silent moment passed between us.
It's time.
I knew what he meant. It was time to go back, and it was. The fight for this battle had left me. I'll try to escape again.
I figured as much.
I'm not going to stop fighting you.
I wouldn't want you to.
I thought that was weird. And I'm not going to marry you.
We'll talk about that later.
No, we won't, I said, starting toward my cloak with weary steps. I drew up short, cursing under my breath.
What?
Castile followed. There's a dead craven on my cloak. I sighed heavily.
That was an especially inconvenient place for it to fall.
He nudged it off the cloak, but the damage was already done. I could see and smell the rotten blood staining the garment. If I put that on, I will vomit, I warned him. Picking up my satchel, he draped it over his shoulder as he rose.
You ran far, farther than I thought you would get, he said.
Since he wasn't looking, I allowed myself a small smile.
But I don't think you'll freeze to death on the way back.
Then you'll rest, he said, facing me.
You'll need all your strength for the battles ahead, princess.